Folks, great to be with you back. Happy New Year. Wonderful to see you all. I've missed you. Today we're going to do four-ish. Lauren was absolutely right. We're going to pick up four. We missed it. We missed Genesis 4. And then we'll pick up parts of Genesis 6 and 7. So our titles, the first murder, and then judgment. So we're Genesis 4, 1 through 15. And then Genesis 6, 13, new glasses. They are still working their way into a sweet spot there. 6, 13 through 22, and then 7, 20 to 24. And folks, the taglines, dishonoring God leads to contempt for his creation, and judgment will come. Judgment will come for all our sins. Our memory verse, Genesis 4, 7, if you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Genesis 6:13, then God said to Noah, I have decided to put an end to every creature, for the earth is filled with wickedness because of them. Therefore, I am going to destroy them along with the earth. So welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to see you again in 2024. Last time we met, you know, the cartoons when I was a kid. When last we left, our heroes were. When last we met, we were riding that whirlwind of the creation along with the world, the human civilization. We gained, I believe, renewed astonishment and awe at God's magnificent creation. It's amazing, you know, when you think about that. We also, quite shamefully, shake our heads at the frailty of our human condition. And we just can't get it right. Praise God for a Savior, right? So we began with the first week. We began with the first couple. The first sin ever recorded. Matt gave us a great, memorable quote last time we met with from Dr. S.M. Lockridge that summed up creation very, very well, I think. I noted it down. God stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere onto the platform of nothing and spoke a world into existence. Praise God, man! You're just in awe of that. You know, during the first week, God spoke everything into existence. Our lesson and many commentaries identified the very high point of that week, the pinnacle, the acme, the top end, top shelf of God's creation, man. And God saw that all He had made was very good indeed. Evening came, and then morning, the sixth day. God was able to do every bit of that. Could have done it today if he wanted to. But he did it in 6 days. Think about that carefully, ladies and gentlemen. The entire creation of everything that God made during that first week, the high point, you and I, made in his own image. Everything he made, he determined to be very good indeed. You know, we kind of think as we break over into the sinful nature of man, we kind of think, Have we stumbled across a mistake in recorded time that God the Father made? No. Man is exactly what he wanted it to be. Humanity is exactly what he wanted us to be. I was reminded of the... couldn't start out, could we? Just couldn't get past it. Reminded of the great, I don't know what part she sung, but a great singer, Ethel Waters. Yeah. And she is said to have been quoted, I'm somebody, because God don't make no junk. And so, you know, folks, we run through the process with regard to how in the world could this be? When we think of an awesome God and a magnificent creation, how in the world could it be that we so frequently, willingly, goof things up royally? You know, what happened? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've said this before, God loved us enough to give us choice. When we choose, we often find our sinful nature. Very easily, unfortunately. You know, Mac told about the voices from Genesis 3. We seem to hear Satan's voice very clearly. And you know, that's a struggle. It really is when we think we should be listening for the master. How in the world are we just like that dog in Up, squirrel? You know, do we just not get it? Are we just not focused? You know, what's the situation that's coming along there? But when we choose, we find our sinful nature. When the choice overrides, the choice of the created overrides the desire, the very plan of the Creator, we find ourselves, you know, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, in it up to our eyeballs in sin. Think about that. You know, Andy and Barney and all of the folks in Mayberry were not team players for Genesis 4 and 6 and 7. I'll just throw that out there. Not that I'm bitter about that, of course. But I was able to get another reference from my youth. That when we think in terms of God's high point, created humanity, God's high point, the pinnacle of His creation, the acme, the very peak of creation, I immediately thought of, and this won't surprise very many of you, Acme, where Wile E. Coyote always went to get his stuff to finally get the Roadrunner, right? And it's interesting, I found some stuff online. Again, there's that dog, you know, ooh, cartoons. Wile E. Coyote's card, if you ever looked at it, it says Genius. That's his title, Genius. He always ended up at the very end holding a little sign that says help. And I'm like, Acme of creation is absolutely in line with that cartoon. Because don't we tend to think that we've got it all, and if we can't get it, we can reach out and find it at Acme, and then when it all blows up in our face, what are we going to do? Help, right? And so it's very interesting to me. Folks, once again, I've mentioned this book before, Steve Farrar, Finishing Strong. Sin always takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you there longer than you want to stay, and it costs you more than you're willing to pay. Yet we clamor towards it. You know, what's wrong with this picture? Not only that, but it has a very efficient way of spiraling from bad to worst. You know, we think about it. God told Adam and Eve not to eat the tree. They chose a different path. God told Cain to avoid sin. He chose a different path to give way to his anger and ended up killing his brother. Sin always involves a choice. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. You know, this sounds like a broken record. And in this crowd, I know you know what that means. For the folks that I teach up at UTA, I have to explain to them what a record is. Which is, you know, kids, what are you going to do? But it always involves a choice. That we constantly choose wrong is illustrative of its allure, its grip, its miserable, wretched insanity. Folks, Albert Einstein is thought to have said, I've never been able to verify that. He said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So as I said, I don't know that he said that. If he did, well, he was a smart guy, right? And when we think in terms of that, isn't that kind of what happens when we make our futile choices? You know, and it's not a degree of what. It's not like, well, you know, I haven't violated any of the Big Ten, so I guess I'm okay, right? Now, according to Grand Canyon University devotional, in God's eyes, sin is sin, no matter what the person did. If it's against His commands, then the law condemns us as sinners. Sin's escalation is well displayed throughout the pages of the Old Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, I think I stole this from somebody, and I don't know who it was, but it illustrates what's called a God-sized hole in humanity's heart that cries out for a Savior. We said, in the beginning, the Word, the Savior. The one who would pave our path back to a holy, righteous God cries out for a Savior to release its grip and penalty. And folks, it's interesting to me that if we think in terms of that, we have that choice to make, don't we? We have power over sin. Ask your Father. He said, I'll give it to you. if you'll ask me. Maybe it's so easy because we're not asking. First sin resulted in the first sacrifice, eviction from the Garden of Eden. The first murder, Cain became a marked, cursed man, doomed to be a restless wanderer. The split of a household recorded in Genesis. One who knows what happened to. Doesn't really say. There's people that identify with the wickedness that we're going to see in the days leading up to the flood. Came down from Cain. I don't know that there's anything there other than some Bible scholars are kind of thinking about that. The other, Noah, which Obed, you know who Obed was, right? He was David's grandpa. That, you know, we always forget that as we're going through the lineage, but think about your grandpa. Pretty good guy, huh? So, Noah, Obed, David, Jesus, our Savior. Wow, what a choice to make. Folks, we suffer a universal condition. Mac mentioned Adamic nature requires a response. God's Word, Jesus, tells us it must result in death, for a holy God cannot look upon it. Genesis 2:17, you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day you eat from it, you will certainly die. Ezekiel 18:4, look, every life belongs to me. The life of the Father is like the life of the Son. Both belong to me. The person who sins is the one who will die. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our lesson today, ladies and gentlemen, begins the third of the records sections outlined in Genesis. Genesis 2:4 provides an account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The Lord God made them, the heavens and the earth. Genesis 5:1, written account of Adam's family line. And then today, Genesis 6:5 through 8, two groups, Noah's family and everyone else. The wicked rest of humanity. Wouldn't it be great to be labeled that way? I know we don't think much of labels today, but wouldn't it be great if somebody was to say two groups, your family and everybody else, right? I have a movie. It's a video that I watch. It's a confined space, a fatality, unfortunately. But there's an individual's very torn up over the fact that she's lost a colleague. And she's in tears, and she said, he was the awesomest man you'd ever want to meet. I'm like, oh, that's my epitaph. You know, when you think about it, it's like, good night. That's the goal. That's where we want to go, right? And so, folks, as we move forward, we take note that God's miraculous creation, every creature corrupt in every way. Every thought in every way evil. Continuously. Folks, remember we talked about that, right? When we think in terms of management information systems, we think continual, which is what we do. Continuous is the goal, right? Continuous, we're getting better and better and better and better and better. There's never a step back. It's not two steps forward, one step back. It's just we're marching to Zion, right? And so it's never, you never have a fallback. That ain't us. If I could say that using better English, I'd say that ain't us. Right? Unfortunately, our continuous nature is the Adamic nature, which is every thought, every way, continuously. What starts is a single act of disobedience. Right? Man, the fruit just looks so good. Right? Exploded into widespread evil. Again, it'll take you further than you ever thought you were going to go. Genesis 6:6, the King James Version. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth. It grieved him in his heart. He regretted making man. How can this be? Because God don't make no junk, right? What he did was he gave us the ability to choose wrong. We chose wrong again and again and again. Genesis 6:7 says, "Then the Lord said, I will wipe mankind who I'm created off the face of the earth, together with the animals, the creatures that crawl, birds of the sky, for I regret that I made them." Our lesson outline today, folks, judgment announced. That's Genesis 6:13-17. Rescue promised. Genesis 6:18-22. And finally, judgment executed. Genesis 7:20-24. Genesis 6:13-17 reads, "Then God said to Noah, I have decided to put an end to every creature, for the earth is filled with wickedness because of them. Therefore, I'm going to destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it with pitch inside and outside. This is how you are to make it. The ark will be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. You are to make a roof, finishing the sides of the ark to within 18 inches of the roof. You are to put a door in the side of the ark. Make it with lower, middle, and upper decks. Understand that I am bringing a flood. Flood waters on the earth to destroy every creature under heaven with the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish." Very succinctly, we could say, from those five verses, sin will not be tolerated. You know, folks, I think back to my raising. That was kind of the path forward for us, wasn't it? I mean, it was, there's a right way, there's a wrong way. If you choose the wrong way, I'm going to give you a reminder to get you back to the right way. The nature of the beast, right? The nature of the beast. Now, being the third in line, the last one, you know the best. You know, I mean, come on. If you talk to my brothers, they'd tell you, sure, absolutely. I probably would say, at least he thinks he is. But the point there was, I got to see what happened to the other two's choices. I didn't make any better choices anyway. You know, when the pastor this morning was talking about the fact, if your professor told you, I'm going to give you one final. I was the guy that was thinking, I'm asking, are you grading on a curve? What an option there, right? What an option. But there you go. Sin will not be tolerated. Holy God had it. He'd had enough. Matthew Henry says, all kinds of sin were found among men. They corrupted God's worship. Their sin filled the earth with violence. The contagion spread. Wickedness had become the norm. And ruin wasn't far off. I remember when I was a kid, Tennessee Ernie Ford sang a song, Noah Found Grace in the Eyes of the Lord. That's a great song. You know, we just don't have songs like that anymore. And therein lies the path forward. Righteous, blameless, walking in close relationship, close fellowship with God. Folks, there's your manual. You know, the do-it-yourselfers out there, walking in close relationship. Remember I told you I have a good friend that says, relationships, they take a lot of work. They do, don't they? They really, really, really do. And usually the other guy's always wrong. Almost always the other guy's wrong, right? But you have to work through. You want a relationship with God? It is inherent that you intentionally have a relationship with God. You know, the pastor left us out a checklist. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Be a fruitful individual worthy of the name Christian. Well, there's walking in close fellowship with God. Folks, I'm going to tell you, if you're doing that, then that sin nature has a much harder time showing itself. Now, a lot of times we either don't believe it or we think, well, maybe for somebody else, but not me. But there's the path forward for you. As easy as picking up a book, a love letter from the Creator of the universe. God's judgment would extend to everything because of man's depravity and self-indulgence. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. We're responsible for everything that didn't even have a dog in the race, right? God killed them, took care of them because of man's depravity. How bad could that have been? Utter destruction, complete annihilation, except for Noah, his family, and God's selection of animals. Johnny had a chance to go see the ark up in Kentucky, and I asked him if he would mind kind of giving us a quick view of just how magnificent that is. Huh?
Oh, it's a work of art, I'll tell you. I think some of you in here may have been up there, but it is built to the same specifications that you just told us about. And you go in the big door, and you go up three floors. Takes you three quarters of a day, and it is well constructed. Ken Ham is in charge of the operation up there. He enlisted his board of directors to gather the money that it took to build this thing. They did that, and then they had to do the construction, and he had to enlist people that understood how to build and not use nails. And it's just a work of art. I mean, it's just exactly as it's described right here that you've been talking about. And once you do that, then they have the Creation Museum, and they're not at the same location. So you spend a day at the Ark, and then you go to the museum. And there's a lot there. There's students there. There's teachers that bring their students, and they get to walk around. I had to wait in line sometimes to get my pictures, but I got about a 20-minute video of our vacation up there. Sometime we can show that if we want to, or I have the video that Ken Ham put together on how they decided how to construct this, and it was very informative. I saw the video in the museum in their big theater, and then I went to look, where is the CD or the DVD of this, and I did find it. So we can do that one day.
Very good. That'd be very, very interesting. Thank you for kind of giving us a bird's eye view of something pretty neat to see. I think about that, you know, with the money that it took, the engineering that it took, all of the things to be able to give us a view of what God created through Noah and his sons. You know, basically, you know, it's just phenomenal when you think about that. And gracious God had provided a path forward, even for the wicked that were outside watching this whole thing go. As Noah toiled, he preached, but he found death ridiculing ears. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen, and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith he condemned the world, became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Folks, when we think in terms of flooding, I know we've seen them, you know, the news is always just horrifying for us to take a look at. you know, we think flooding, torrential rain. The lesson said, God opened the floodgates of the sky. Apparently, this was new. This was the first recorded rainfall. You know, I think in terms, you know, I try to put myself in, how can I illustrate that? How can I put two and two together so I can kind of figure that out? And it always works its way back out to the South Plains of Texas. Morton, Texas, actual annual average rainfall, 19 inches. You ought to be there the day it rains. I mean, it's a gully washer, as Mom used to say. And folks, we just don't think in terms of the sheer amount of water that we're talking about. The closest that I can get to this is being in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And folks, solitude and a sense of awe when you look around and the only thing in that ocean is you and the ship. But we were, last time I left the Philippines, in October of 1978 was it's what's recorded as a very active Pacific typhoon season. It produced 31 tropical storms that year, 16 typhoons, one intense typhoon. The one that was coming in, I can remember, we had a reservation. Back then, if you wanted to call home from the Philippines, you had to make a reservation and then go to, you know, quarters. right, over to the phone, and then they would connect you back up to the States. You could talk to Mom and Dad. And my brother and I were very fortunate to serve on the same ship, the last Westpac that both of us actually made. So we were going to go over and talk to Mom and Dad. And so I came out onto the main deck, and it's, you know, stormy, and I noticed that the crane has the brow under tension. And I'm like, what is going on? And you guys all know, I don't know if you know this, but this is an absolute truth. A whining sailor is a happy sailor. I was one of the happiest sailors on board the ship. And so I'm like, what in the world is going on here? My brother came out. He says, well, we're not going to be able to go. There's a typhoon coming. I'm like, so? And he says, well, no, we got to get out of here because it's like not just coming, it's here. And they had the brow under tension. And I remember the officer of the deck was standing there with a clipboard. We had to have at least 25% of the ship's capacity to be able to go to sea. He was checking it off. We knew what we had on board. But everybody coming back from, you know, being out on the beach and things of that nature. And when we hit 25%, that brow, I can still see it. That brow pulls up, moves, and we're gone. And it gives me, you know, goosebumps just thinking about it. But we went to sea, and it was some pretty rough weather. You know, of course, we didn't want to be next to the pier because that's just bad for everybody. But it was only a Category 2. Folks, grace of God, 3 days later, the super typhoon came in. It was Rita, Category 5, 140-mile-an-hour wind. I'm glad I didn't go to sea in that. You know, 2 was bad enough. And I think in terms of that, those stories pale in comparison to what holy God did to the earth. When he sent water, Genesis 7 utilizes a literary device, parallelism, verses 12, 17 through 19 and 24, to illustrate the magnitude of the flood. Verse 12, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 17, for 40 days the flood kept coming. Verse 18, the waters rose increasingly. Verse 19, all the high mountains were covered. Verse 24, water surged on the earth for 150 days. Now, folks, when we left for that hurricane and then typhoon, went back to pick up the other 75% that didn't make it in that day. We were only out for about 6 days. It was not fun. We had what the Navy calls turkey a la king, morning, noon, and night, along with biscuits, which you could have shingled a roof with. You know, again, whining sailor's a happy sailor. But folks, you just don't think in terms of that, right? Everything that had breath was lost, except for those in the security of the ark. Ladies and gentlemen, God promised rescue. Genesis 7:16b. Then the Lord shut him in. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Branson to see Noah, but at the end of the first act, when God shuts the door, Act 2. Oh, wow, nice. Yep. And when they shut that door, it is just breathtaking. I mean, it's spiritual. Because you think in terms of that, here's this massive vessel that God engineered, built through Noah and his sons, put all of those animals in, and then he's like, okay, we're done. Bang. He shut the door. Rescue promise, Genesis 6:18-22, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark with your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives. You will also bring into the ark 2 of all the living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. 2 of everything, from the birds according to their kinds, from the livestock according to their kinds, and from the animals that crawl on the ground according to their kinds, will come to you so that you can keep them alive. Take with you every kind of food that's eaten. Gather it as food for you and for them. And Noah did this. He did everything that God had commanded him. Matthew Henry says, the secret of the Lord is with them who fear him. It is so with all believers, enabling them to understand and apply the declarations and warnings of the written word. Uh-oh. Well, if we're inclined to sin as a go-to, what does that mean about fearing the Lord? Do we? I was thinking that today. Of course, it's hard not to. You know, and Pastor Scott, see, I finally got that right, 2024. Kept ripping off all of my notes and everything like that this morning. As he was going through, it's hard not to think in terms of that, preparation and things of that nature. Do we apply warnings that are laid out in the written word to us? Psalms 25:14 says, "The Lord confides in those who fear him and makes his covenant known to them." Covenant, binding agreement, an oath-bound promise from the Creator of the universe. Folks, he's never missed yet. Not going to miss, but he's not missed yet. You know, we can definitely say that. Anything that God promised happened exactly in the fashion that he said it was going to. Notice who reaches out here. It's not Noah, right? God took the initiative to pursue a covenant relationship with his people. Noah's family, but God reached out to them. He promises protection and preservation. The only thing Noah has to bring to the party, faithful obedience. And they're always on the catch. Faithful obedience. Noah's faith prevailed over all corrupt reasonings of the day. Are we starting to feel like we're in 2024? Reasonings of the day. Genesis records the righteousness and blamelessness God found in Noah. Doesn't mean he wasn't without sin, right? It means he was doing the business that he needed to pursue that relationship with God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just Noah. We can do that. That's available to us. God clearly regretted the wickedness, the shameful choices his creation was making time again. You know, a lot of times when we study the Old Testament, we're kind of inclined to think of Josh as angry and judgmental, when in fact God responds time and time again with mercy and grace. He withheld his anger and again reached out to humanity. God promised rescue, including two of everything he had created. Birds of the sky, cattle, livestock, everything that crawled on the ground. Everything. And Noah did this. You know, it's amazing to me when we read over, you know, short parts of the Scripture. Sometimes we read beyond that. Noah did this. Committed obedience. Now, folks, we're not going to get it right, are we? I mean, we're sinful. Right? We have that sinful nature. That doesn't mean we can't commit to a greater outcome. As a matter of fact, what did God tell Cain? Do better. Right? That's what he's asking of us. Do better. Committed obedience. Intentional obedience. I love that word. I intend to get this done. I intend to make this happen. You know, when I think back growing up, my mother and daddy were intentional that I was going to do better. A lot. Matter of fact, they both probably passed away saying, "I hope one of these days," because we just don't get there, right? At the same point in time, it's the intentionality. God, I'm going to do the very best this feeble individual can do, and I'm going to let you take it from there. Oh, what a prayer to make, right? Couldn't do it. Couldn't get there, so we see judgment executed. Genesis 7:20-24. The mountains were covered as the water surged above them more than 20 feet. Every creature perished. Those that crawl on the earth, birds, livestock, wildlife, those that swarm on the earth, as well as all mankind. Everything with the breath of the Spirit of life in its nostrils. Everything on dry land died. He wiped out every living thing that was on the face of the earth, from mankind to livestock, to creatures that crawl, to the birds of the sky, and they were wiped off the earth. Only Noah was left and those that were with him in the ark. And the water surged on the earth for 150 days. It was interesting, ladies and gentlemen, some of the research that you do. I'm one of those, I don't know, nerds that remembers back when we used to go to the library and the Reader's Guide to Periodic Literature, and the Dewey Decimal System, the card, you remember those? The card catalog? And made sure that what I'm saying is something I can back up, right? Internet don't have that, which is unfortunate. There's a lot of stuff that's just not there. Some of the things that came up, universal or localized? Well, it says God covered the earth. I'm going with universal. Okay? Was it covering the entire earth of only land? Well, apparently biblical scholars argue over this. Scholars. Gee whiz. This is like when you ask a 10-year-old, what did you learn in school today? Nothing. Why did we send you to school? Matter of fact, I've got a niece that loves to do texting and stuff like that. And it's, she's 10. And so, the conversations are 10. But if it starts to get a little bit longer in time and I need to get away, all I have to do is just ask that, what'd you learn in school today? We're done. Scholars. Anyway, it says everything. 20 feet higher than the mountains. Mount Ararat, 16,854 feet. So it would have been, 874 feet at least. Mount Everest, 29,029 feet. Higher than that too. Every creature perished. Universal destruction. Universal, that equates to universal corruption. Folks, these compare. The crime... at the time, right? Sin was universal across the face of the planet. God's punishment was universal across the face of the planet. Horrifyingly, ladies and gentlemen, God's gift to us that began, let there be, was taken away because of humanity's wickedness. Romans 9:20-22, on the contrary, who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Will what is formed say the one who formed it? Why did you make me like this? Or has the potter no right over the clay to make from the same lump one piece of pottery for honor and another for dishonor? And what if God, wanting to display his wrath and make his power known, endures with much patience objects of wrath prepared for destruction? Folks, parallelism shows up again with passages in verses 21 to 23. That give us a very emphatic, vivid picture of this complete, utter destruction. Verse 21, every creature perished. Verse 22, everything with the breath of the Spirit of life died. Verse 23, wiped out. Wiped completely off of the earth. Only Noah was left. Folks, Toby's going to tell us about God's promise to never again destroy the earth through a flood when we get to Genesis 9. But rainbow, once again, our choices these days, rainbow, wonder if there's something to that. I wonder if God smiles when he just, it has to break his heart, that people just will not consider what he's given to them. Nonetheless, our lesson today reminds us that in the face of judgment, in the face of judgment, which he promises at Joel 2, 1 through 14, John 3, 36, Romans 2, 4 through 8, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11, 2 Peter 2, 1 through 9, and 3, 1 through 13. Every one of those describes the judgment that is coming. Now, Moses emphasizes the length of the flood at 400 days, a little more than 400 days. Not including the time it took to construct the ark. So, folks, there's parallelism here. There is a method to the numbers, which I'm sure Dottie will talk about next week. But 7 days between the command to enter the ark and the start of the flood, 40 days of rain, 150 days of surging water, 150 days of receding water, 40 days prior to the release of the first bird, 7 days prior to the release of the second bird, 7 days prior to the release of the third and final bird. If somebody smarter than me is going to have to figure that out. It's too many numbers. Too many numbers for me. I was proud of Pastor Scott trying to do math on the fly. The emphasis, folks, signals, it heightens for us the importance of the flood in history, the seriousness of God's judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, He wants us to be better. He wants us to be better. He's going to help us be better. But He's going to give us the choice to be better. Right? What does this mean? What does all of this boil down to in the 2,224th year of our Lord? Well, as we get down to those brass tacks Mom used to talk about, never knew what that was. We're no better than the wicked humanity of Noah's day, are we? Really not. We share the same Adamic nature. Corrupt in every way, every thought, evil in every way, continuously. My goodness, folks. As I was looking this up, I mentioned to you, you know, the internet is kind of neat to have because you can, if something kind of gets in your mind, you guys know, you can jump right into it. But good old Google. Noah's flood. Myth, mockery, ridicule. Now, we're no better. Remember the folks that were outside of the ark when God closed it? Myth. What's rain? We've never seen that before. Mockery. Yeah, Noah, you go right ahead. Build that boat. Ridicule. Absolutely. When the first drop of rain hit them on their head, they're probably wondering, what's that? And then all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, we all, from the beginning of time, let me back up from that, from the beginning of the first sin until now, stand in need of God's grace. Fortunately, He loved us enough. He loved us beyond our feeble humanity. He sent His one and only Son to atone every sin that's ever been done by anyone who trusts Jesus as their Savior. Atonement. When Jesus spread His hands out across that cross and said, it's finished, it was. Done deal. Forever. You don't have to worry about it. You trust Jesus as your Savior. He could come back tomorrow. And while we may not be as ready as we'd like to be, one thing's for sure. God said, you trust my Son, you trust my Son. He'll take care of it for you. Folks, He saves us by the fact that what we couldn't do for our own self, He came down from heaven to do for us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What else do we have today? I love, you know, Genesis has just been a joy to read. All of the stuff that I knew before, that no, I didn't. I didn't know it before. I thought I did. But my goodness, it's just new stuff that opens up. And praise the Lord for giving us a new view of the things of creation. Folks, above it all, you know, we think about the flood. We think about the abject carnage that occurred for those who were wicked and didn't turn back. Still, it's a love story. It's a love story from the Creator of the universe. I've given you a path back to me. How about we make a good choice? Father, we thank you so much for a chance to get back together in 2024. Father, we praise you for giving us time on this earth and for bringing us back together, giving us a chance to see one another and smile and get that hug therapy that we're so fond of in the Barnabas class. Father, we ask you that as we look at the days leading up to the great flood, Father, we ask you that we recognize that we're no better than the individuals that you call wicked in your word, but at the same point in time, Father, we recognize that the choice you give us gives us the ability to choose to seek you out and to gain power over the sinful nature that we have by birth. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for Jesus, and we ask all of these blessings in His holy name.